Hello, this feels very official. Okay, so let's go around and just introduce ourselves. If we could just go around the room and if everyone can say loudly, because someone's taking notes, minutes. So say loudly who you are, and we'll start with Vice President Salem.
Ron Salem, Group 2 at large.
Lasikia Hodges, Office of General Counsel.
Leanna Cumber, District 5.
Matt Carlucci, at large, Group 4.
Good afternoon, Randy DeVore, District 14. That's my nephew, and
I thought he's recognized you.
He's driving Miss Randy.
I thought I recognized you. Well, it's good. It's a good business to be in these days. Make sure she's paying you well. Okay, great. So I wanted to do this to kind of talk about the procurement bill and go through the history. Lasikia can kind of walk through a few of the details. Did you have the side by side?
So through the Councilman McCumber. Yeah. Through the chair, Councilman McCumber. I bought 3 copies of this little comparison table that I usually do when there is a major sort of rewrite like this. So I can hand these to you, but
we can share.
Perfect.
But this is really detailed. I'm not sure if you want me to
really
do
detailed.
This or if you want me to do more of the bill summary that was attached to the bill.
So I think we'll go through a couple of things. But just to so everyone kind of understands the history, we started working on this, a year ago, right? Over a year ago. And to bring the procurement code up to date. It hasn't been revised in 30 years, I believe. And there are a lot of procurement tools that the state allows for that we can't do because we don't have it in our code. And we don't have a living code. So what's happened is over the years, council members have kind of changed the code by lifting paragraphs out of the state code and plopping them into our code, which means that when they change on the state level, our code hasn't changed. And so our code is wildly outdated, and it doesn't allow for things like P3s. And so in order to do a P3, which is a public-private partnership, you would have to default to the state code. The problem with that is we don't have the expertise to do the P3 because we don't have it in our code to do it. So we're having to conduct business on the city level using state code and so forth. So it's super cumbersome. It's super far behind, again, 30 years old. And so what this does, and it also, I've heard from private industry that what happens too is that when people want to do or the city wants to use procurement codes that aren't in our code and they default to the state level, then they also default to private industry who are registered on the state level. Mm-hmm. And so it narrows the pool of people down to sometimes one. And so what this does is a few things, but the main thing is it updates it to current law. So there's some things that are just reflected that are current existing law that we don't have in our code right now. Takes out things that have been overridden by the state, and also, and I'm trying to find what page it's on, allows for, it details out a list of procurement tools that can be used by the city, and then has a catch-all, and the catch-all is anything that the state deems legal. And that way the code will grow with and evolve with all of the changes that are made on the state level. So that's kind of the overall thing. The other thing it does in order to make it a living code is it takes a lot out. Our code was very dense, and it made it where everything was prescribed in code rather than prescribed in the manual. And so when we started this, I had Lasekia look at Nashville and Indianapolis and Tampa. Nashville and Indianapolis are consolidated cities, and so they are apples to apples. And they are doing very well. And Tampa is also doing very well, not consolidated, but is doing very well. And so Lasekia was able, she did a ton of research and was able to find kind of the best of all worlds out of those three examples. And so we really kind of stole a lot of good language out of the Nashville code, particularly out of the Nashville code, and then, you know, out of Indy and Tampa. The other thing it does is we had the Inspector General vet it, and the auditors, and this has been worked on, and it was previously approved by the administration. Considering political climate right now, I don't know if they will retract that approval because it's my name's on it, but that's something that they're going to have to deal with. But they had previously approved it, had worked on it. Council auditors have looked at it, and we've worked through, I think, almost everything, but they're here, and they can speak for the council auditor's office. And the IG worked through, and we incorporated all of the inspector general's thoughts and concerns, because the most of waste, fraud, and abuse that happens in cities is through procurement. And so what we wanted to do was make sure that it was that was as buttoned up as possible, so we kind of cut through that and made it easier. The last thing I'll say, and then I'll hand it over to Lasekia, and she can kind of fill in the holes. There's a whole section in here that allows for online and more automated systems if funded by the administration and by council. But what it does, again, it becomes a living document, so that in the event that council deems it and the administration deems it appropriate to fund in the future, the automation and online and so forth, that it's allowed in the code and you don't have to revisit it. So that's that piece. Lasekia, what did I...
Yeah, I think you
did. What
are
the big things I missed?
Right, you did a great job, Councilwoman, summarizing. One thing that I will point out is right now we have three procurement committees. So part of the Councilwoman wanting to streamline the process is we combine those three committees into one committee called the JPAC. And this is really not a new concept. If you go back all the way to 2011, I think, under the Brown administration, this same idea was proposed then. And so that's one way of streamlining. We also took the scope of the procurement committee and we narrowed it down to be consistent with some of our other agencies in our government. So the city of Jacksonville's procurement will, in order to, for example, put a bid advertisement out on the street, you have to go to the awards committee to have them approve that. So we've made them consistent with everybody else. It's not typical to have your awards committee actually bless the RFP document. That's something that staff would typically work on. You see that across the board in all of our other independent agencies. And so now, you know, from an efficiency standpoint, by sort of narrowing the scope of what the committee's looking at, so now the committee's only really doing the awards, the selecting of that contractor that we're actually going to enter into a contract with. So I want to point that out. You already mentioned the electronic aspect. A lot of this, too, is just reorganizing, because if you were to take a look at our Chapter 126, our procurement code today, is really not reader-friendly. So a lot of things are really not new. It's just reorganizing it in a way that hopefully people that are doing business with the city can more easily understand how to navigate our procurement process. We also took a lot of in the weeds type things, like the amount of time that you have to notice, how you, things that you would normally find in that advertisement document relative to the process, we lifted that out of the code, and it's intended that that detail is placed in our procurement operating manual. So this document, or this rewrite, actually does give the executive branch more authority and flexibility to be able to go out and quickly procure, and as Councilwoman Cumber said, utilize a lot of the tools that's out there and available. But the way the bill was basically proposed is that we have this rewrite, and if the council approves it in whatever form the council approves it in, then we would give our procurement chief a certain amount of time to actually implement and those changes into the procurement operating manual.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Brad.
That's yours.
That's closer. Anyway, thanks for having the meeting. I've had my eyeballs on this for a long time, but I haven't really researched it. But one thing that Lasikia said that suddenly gave me a little pause is I'm not sure I'm for anything that gives more power to the administration to procure without, you know, the council needs to have the ability, if it gives them more opportunities to procure without our approval, I'm not so sure I'm crazy about that. So am I right? Did I misunderstand something?
Yeah.
Well, so let me clarify that. So what would Councilman Cumber tried to do is put in our ordinance code the foundational parameters that the council would set. So, for example, the procurement toolbox, as she mentioned right now, there's probably four tools in the toolbox. The state statute has additional tools. So from a city council standpoint, you would need to add to our existing code those other tools for the administration to be able to use. But the process in which the executive branch utilize those tools, well, that's already outside of the council's domain, you know, really right now. The council isn't involved on those day-to-day. And so there will still be a process, but that process, sort of the nitty-gritty detail of how you affect a procurement document, will be lifted from the code and placed into a procurement operating manual that the mayor will be able to make changes to with the approval of this procurement board.
Mm. Does that make sense? Which is how most cities do it. Because the way we do it is what you end up with is a bunch of, you end up with a lot in the code that's not law anymore.
So give us an example of what changes they can make with the administration that doesn't come before the council.
So right now, Greg Peace, informal purchases. There's a whole process that's set forth in a manual document that the council never sees, that the chief of procurement standing alone can make those changes. He can just make those changes, and then the mayor would sign off on that. So
that would move down to the committee?
Correct.
So that's better.
Correct.
Wait a minute, who's appointing the committee?
So the committee would consist of ex officio voting members. So, and that's another point that we should mention. Right now, our procurement committees in OGC, for example, is a representative on the committee. We've removed the Office of General Counsel from being actually a procurement committee member, and the Office of General Counsel will play the same role that we normally play when we're advising boards and commissions, which is doing exactly what I'm doing right now, and sitting and giving counsel. But the three other members would be the chief financial officer or their designee, the risk management officer, their designee, and the public works director. And that's similar to how we have it right
all
now.
All of which report to the mayor. Yeah.
And that's how you have it right
that's
now.
That's how it is right now.
That's how it is right now. So except there's three committees.
There's three committees. We're on the three committees. Now.
So if it's GJAC, it is the public works director, the CFO, and there's another sitting member. I can't think of who that member is right now. And then for the professional services committee is essentially those three plus the procurement chief and then two members of the using agency that's participating in the procurement. So like if it's a public works procurement, then there's two members of public works that would have the ability to go and score and grade. But the way that the code is set up right now, there are sitting members from your departments, directors, that are actually the members that are making these decisions on the awards that go to the mayor, and then the mayor signs off on the awards.
As far as to the representative on the committee, the big thing was consolidating the committees, but also taking OGC off, because there's an inherent conflict. Because if OGC is on, then they can't give advice. They can't give advice outside of the sunshine, because then they become part of the committee. So they actually can't really do their job now the way they should do it. So the people on the people who are being represented on the committees, that hasn't changed.
Okay. But okay. Through the chair of this group committee, to LaSikia, I still go back to hearing you say this makes it easier for the mayor's office to procure things without having to go through the council. That's kind of what I heard.
I am not
giving up any checks and balances on procurement whatsoever.
This actually has more.
It has more.
This has more.
Well, that's what I heard, though. That's my little red flag went up.
Right. So right now, in Chapter 126, which is your procurement code, there's a lot of process detail that's in Chapter 126. So in that vein, because it's in the code, the City Council, if you were to make any changes to that, that would have to come to the City Council in order for those changes to be effected. So we are taking a lot of what's in the code. Councilman Cumber is taking a lot of that process, but not the parameters.
Go ahead. Cut through the
Absolutely.
Legal speak.
It's your bill.
Let me give you a concrete example. So like the catch-all on procurement. So there's constantly the state is approving new procurement tools, right? Right now, the way this is written now, the city could use whatever the state deems legal. If it's not, without just, because it would be in the procurement code, and if you see on page 5, it lists out new procurements, like we can't even do unsolicited proposals in the city, which is why you always see in bills,
you can't do what now?
Unsolicited proposals. Okay. Which is why you see all the time we get bills that say we're waiving the procurement code,
yeah.
the procurement code, because we don't have it
right.
in the procurement code.
Because so we get unsolicited.
We get unsolicited, right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how business is done, right? So, but what it adds into the manual now, it says, all right, these are all, as of May 10th, 2023, these are all the procurement tools that the state of Florida allows. However, if on May 11th, state of Florida allows for another procurement tool, that can also be used. Right now, you would have to go through a whole council bill to be able to do it, which is why the administration just waives the code rather than, so when we get an unsolicited proposal, rather than have a bill that says, okay, well now we can add unsolicited proposal and there's a way the code and say we're just going to default to the state code. This allows for the city to actually follow state law, but do it internally, which has more guardrails on it. And so I think it's just the way LaSikia is describing it. What she's saying is like if the manual, which the procurement director or whatever, procurement officer, drafts and then it goes through this committee for approval. If the manual says for an unsolicited proposal, like a 2-week deadline, whatever, then that can be changed within the manual, within the process, within the going before the procurement committee. Right now, anything that's changed like that needs to go through council. It needs to actually be changed in law, which is why we have all this stuff on the books that just isn't law anymore. Like, it's not, it's A, not law anymore because it's been overridden by the state, because the state has changed the law.
But I think that's his, that's what, I mean, I don't want to speak for Matt, but his concern is that he doesn't want to circumvent, even though it may make for a more streamlined process, he doesn't want to circumvent the council. I'm just curious from the auditor's standpoint, I know that you worked on this as well, do you think that these changes reduce the authority and control of the council? Thanks.
Kim Taylor, council auditor. We had several meetings with Lasekia, with the councilwoman. Just so you know, it wasn't, you know, just one or two. We really went through. We asked a lot of questions. It does change. We don't have concerns from an audit standpoint because a lot of it was boilerplate type describing the process that within a procedure manual, you will still be held to certain requirements. Yes, it can be changed, and you're right. The people that sit on the committee will report to the mayor. And so even though it requires that two-step approval, you do have that.
But that's always been the case anyway.
That's always been the case. We really, I can boil it down to two suggestions or two concerns that we, I think Mr. Peterson had talked with Councilwoman Cumber about that are policy decisions, certainly to consider. But everything else, I feel like we had vetted that, you know, we looked for things too, like the JEA workshop. Mm-hmm. All those changes were procurement, things were changed. Nothing was impacted there. That was one of our concerns, that we didn't want to undo anything that you all had taken great steps to make sure were in place. Nothing like that has changed. The two things that we have left, I'll briefly mention. There's an increase in the, for professional services and contractual services, basically bidding out for those from $65,000 to $150,000. We felt like that's a big jump. That might be something that council wants to consider, maybe coming back down to $100,000.
Can you restate that, please?
Yes, sir. For right now in the code, what it requires is anything for a professional services contract or a contractual services, basically, anything over $65,000 has to be bid out. And that would raise to $150,000. So you would have the threshold, $150,000 or under, in essence, could be done without necessarily bidding it out through an RFP process.
So a single source.
You have single source right now.
Just also comparisons, like the state of Maine, their threshold is $250,000.
Okay. Yeah.
And so what they do and what states do and cities do is they get pre-qualified people. And then they go and they can, so then it doesn't have to. So no, it's not a sole source, but it's a pre-qualification. But anyway, that's the, right now we have that tool. It's just because things are more expensive. And again, it hasn't been updated in 30 years. So 30 years ago, $65,000 was a lot of money.
Right. And that's certainly a comfort level at where council could land on what you're comfortable with as a whole. But that was one of the suggestions, is maybe lowering that. And then there's a provision right now in the code.
Lowering what?
Lowering, right now the threshold would be $150,000 in the proposed bill, to just potentially lowering that to $100,000, to where you do have to do that RFP process.
That's something that I might could.
So those are just policy support suggestions. Mm-hmm. And then also, this really is a more minor one. Of the bill right now provides that, in essence, ourselves and other offices, we get 30 days to look at the manual changes before it goes for approval by the committee and the mayor. And we were just suggesting that every time there's a change, that there's that kind of process put in place so that we have that time to vet, make council aware if there's something that's a concern in the manual, since that would be outside of council's.
What kind of change to a manual?
Any change, since a lot of this will be lifted from the code and go into this procurement manual that can be changed by ultimate approval of the committee, the procurement committee, and the mayor. basically that we're made aware of changes so that way we can communicate any concerns that we have to City Council.
How are those changes done now?
Well, right now, a lot is in the code, and so that's where a lot of it, as Councilwoman Cumber says, it requires council action to change anything.
Part of my concern is I like the idea of streamlining. I like the idea of making, I can go from 65 to 100, but one concern I got, and then I'll relinquish so others can speak more, but I want to make sure more companies have more opportunities to bid and get in on the action. And the more streamlined it becomes, and the higher the numbers get, the same old companies may keep getting the work. And I want to see that, you know, everybody gets an opportunity. More opportunities are available to more different small companies. And instead of getting, because the same old companies get the same old business. And that's a concern to me. I'll leave it at that. It's no implication.
No.
I'm just saying that's
no,
my
it's
concern.
A great concern. This actually helps that. Because right now what's happening is since we can't take unsolicited proposals, since we can't do P3s, since we can't in our code, what happens is we waive the code, and then the city defaults to the state law, because it's easier. So the city just says we're going to default to state law, and then there's only a few people who are qualified to do it with the state. And right now it was actually a big complaint within the industry that there was like one company that kept getting the business because they were the only ones who were registered with the state who could do it with the state. And because we don't have the internal ability to do it, the only way we can do it now is to say we'll take the state law. And there's only one company that
so
this opens it up.
This opens it up to unsolicited bids.
It opens it up to a lot of different proposals.
Allows more people to bid on it. Is that what you're saying?
It opens it up to all sorts of different procurement tools. And so there aren't just one, two, or three, because there are all these, the procurement systems have modernized over the last 30 years. The state has kept up to date. We have not. And so what happens now is when someone wants to come and do a public-private partnership, city says, well, we don't have anything in code that allows us to do that. So, but what we can do is we have the ability just to waive that and go to the state. The problem is you have to be qualified under the state code, state statute, and there's only one or two companies who can do it. So then they just default because it's easier and say, you get the business and then you can get the subs. What this does is it allows the city to have a much larger toolbox so that we have the city has the ability to actually to get creative in procurement and allows more people to be a part of the process. In the 65, I mean, I like 100 to 150, it's kind of agnostic about it. I think 65 is a little low. But that's not a threshold. It's not a threshold that would keep people out. It's not a sole source. I think what you're thinking about is that maybe a sole source, which would be a concern.
Well, it leaves the administration in charge of who gets the work up to 65 or up to 100. Anything over that would have to come before council.
It just gets bids out.
Right, not necessarily through council.
Yeah, and then the bids come back, and I think
they still make the decision.
Yeah, they make the decision out of three, I think.
Right, or they can waive, like JTA does all the time, and they just waive. We don't want the three bids; we just want one, and can waive.
Okay.
So the problem, and then Councilman Vice President Salem, I'll get to you. I think one of the overarching problems and one of the overarching reasons that Lasiki and I started talking about this was, we waive the code all the time.
Yeah.
And we waive the code all the time because our code has not been updated.
Okay.
And so we're constantly waiving, mm-hmm. which isn't a good thing either, because then we don't have control over it.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you waive it, then it's the Wild West. They can do anything.
Yeah.
So, Councilmember Sale.
Makes sense.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. I came today because I know nothing about this. I've seen it on the agenda and committee, and it's been deferred. I look at it, and I'm going to talk broad concepts here because I can't begin to comment on some of the stuff that y'all are doing because I'm not familiar with it. I look at this, and I think JEA. I know Randy and I were on that committee where we went through and rewrote their whole charter, basically, over 7 or 8 months, as I recall, led by Councilmember Boylan. So it just seems very complicated to me. Yeah, she was the attorney for us. Absolutely, she was. So this, I see this, and it just seems like it's a very complicated process. I may be wrong. I look at my calendar where it's May 10th, and the 19 people on our council are going to substantially change in 6 weeks. And I don't see anybody from the mayor's office here. So I wonder, I don't know where they are in this process.
Well, they approved it before the election. I'll leave it at that. But they worked on it for the last year as well.
They're not here today.
Hmm?
I don't know if that's a sign or I have no idea. I'm just throwing that
that's
out.
It's an observation.
It's an observation.
Fair enough,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we only have 6 weeks left. And it seems like if you're going to attempt to get something with this kind of complexity in, there needs to be some significant workshops with the council, because I think it's difficult in a committee process when you only have 7 of them to do that. And when we went through JEA, we had a lot of people that took particular pieces of that. You know, I took the bonus part and other people took different parts and rewrote that with LaSikia, and I think, and then we brought it all together at the end. So, because I think if you don't get it done in 6 weeks, then you're starting all over again and you won't even be here.
Mm-hmm.
So I just throw that out.
Well, that's why I had asked, I think one of the chairs, Chair of TEU, if Leanna could have a chance to share, you know, what the bill was, because procurement is a major engine in making our city go. You know, it's the engine that makes all things go.
It's very important.
So changing it, I felt, in many ways, like you, this will be complicated. But then, at the same time, I have confidence in Councilmember Cumber to put together something that, you know, I would feel would be worth listening to. But our window's kind of closing. We don't know who the next administration will be. Yeah, we do know we'll have some different council members. So I appreciate the meeting today. And that statement is not meant to say we shouldn't take it up. It's just to say that, you know, it is complicated.
And I'm not suggesting we shouldn't take it up. I'm just saying a strategy needs to be developed quickly to bring 19 people up to speed on the complexity of this. I came today only because I knew nothing about it and I felt like it might get into next year where I would be, Matt and I will be here. And that's why I came. When I chaired neighborhoods this past meeting, I turned to you and said, mm-hmm. you want to speak to this? And you said no,
right,
at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I sense the other 16 that are, or 15 that are not here are not at all up to speed on this. That would be my guess.
Were they invited, I guess?
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
They got the same
yeah.
notice I got
yeah.
and you got.
Yeah.
Did you use the city list so the administration would have gotten it also?
Yeah, yeah. they're, I mean, we've been working on this for a year, which is why the council auditors, you know, we wanted to make sure that it was fully vetted through the council auditors, and they had gone through.
And that's
and
helpful
we had satisfied all of their concerns, except those last, you know, and those last two, and those are pretty minor, easy changes. You know, I mean, the I guess what I'll say is it's something that has been, you know, there was an attempt to do it at the end of the Brown administration, to the end of the Brown administration, and the Curry administration never took it up, and, you know, we just waived the code, and it makes it ripe for narrowly.
That's where they gave control. They have complete control with waiving.
It is, and so you know, it's.
Sounds like it's something that needs to be done. Yeah. It's just that we're, because it's outdated, it hasn't had some updates for a long time, which is causing us to waive a lot of stuff. You're trying to bring us up to speed, and I really believe the council is the checks and balances of this government. And so I don't roll over every time the mayor's office says to roll over. I roll over when I'm convinced that it's the right thing to do, and the council auditors have sprinkled holy water on it. Okay, that's who I lean on. And so it's not that I don't want to be a team, but I get suspicious of teams. I want to know in my own mind what I believe is right and wrong. So I think a lot of what you're trying to do is the right thing. Just trying to, I feel like maybe I'm drinking out of a fire hose a little bit right now, you know?
Right. I think this is the right thing. I just think we've run out of time. I'm sad to say you spent a whole year on it. Because you would have to do, first of all, you got the administration that may not be supporting it. So,
right.
If that happens, we're just going to be wasting our time on a.
Well, I tell you what I do think, this would be my recommendation, because I believe there's a lot of things here through your work need to go forth and need to be included. And I think change needs to be made to the procurement code. Just a little bit I've listened to today. Whether it's done in your timing, I don't know. But our council president may want to look at taking up where maybe the baton is passed over to you, and you turn it over to a committee that can continue to look at this. And I think it would be great if you would come even as not a council member at that time, because you've got the brain power to know what you put together here. And you could explain to, you know, poor, lowly, humble, lovable State Farm agents like me can understand. You know? So, why are y'all laughing out there?
Because it's true. No, I appreciate your work.
A lot of work and time clearly went into this. And if it's 30 years old and it hasn't been, you know, changed, then we know that it needs to be updated.
Right.
I mean, clearly. So I would just ask, you know, Ron, Councilman Salem, that if we can't get this done, if you would be willing to carry the torch.
Well, my initial thought to that is to have a discussion with the administration that comes in and give them a chance to review this and provide some feedback on it.
Sure.
Because we all know that getting something like this through without the support of the administration, whoever it is, would be difficult.
Well, this is an administrative function. It's just that it has not been updated, and it was created by the legislative branch a long time ago.
And I don't know why that is, sitting here today.
For the reason that you're saying right now. And I mean, honestly, everyone says it's too much, right? The Brown administration says too much. The Curry administration says it's too much. We're not going to touch it. And unfortunately, Kim's laughing because And unfortunately, that's why...
I haven't heard that.
Yeah, I mean, that. Well, that's why in 30 years...
No one's touched it.
You know, like I said...
And it's not sexy.
The Brown administration trying to do it.
The media is not going to come in for that
right,
one necessarily.
Exactly. Procurement is not... But I will say that procurement is, you know, I mean, this is the place that you have the most fraud and abuse. And this is the place that narrows the pool of who can do business in the city.
Right.
And so this, and how we're seen as a city. Because
and that
if
in and of
seen,
itself demands a review of it.
Yeah, I mean, if we're seen, so, and again, you know, I mean, and I think it's great. I think that, you know, obviously the council auditors are happy with it, so they can, you know, kind of talk to folks and add a, you know,
well,
kind of gun for them.
I think the incoming council president's right, the administration, because they're the ones that are going to be, you know, executing this. So they need to be a part of it, whoever that next administration is going to be. But at some point in your term, there'll probably come a time when, for the very reasons that's been enunciated by Councilmember Cumber, we need to go through it very thoroughly and implement in advance those changes that need to be advanced and some that, you know, may not need to be. Well, we don't have to, but it needs a little dusting and cleaning, it sounds like to me.
And I would, the last thing I would say is I would just caution, I think Lasekia would agree too. You do more damage piecemealing it than overhauling it.
Yeah.
Completely overhauling it, because what's happened over the years is it's been piecemealed. And so there's things in the procurement code that don't make sense. There's literally, you can go through it, and there's on page, you know, 5, it says one thing. On page 7, it contradicts what it says in page 5.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it's just up to the head of procurement to say, well, I'll go with this instead of this. And so there's no continuity. There's nothing that people can actually rely on. So that's why an overhaul. So I would just caution in the future against kind of piecemealing it, because that's how we got to where we are.
I got to tell you, I really appreciate, truly appreciate you digging into this, because this is not something I'd want to dig into. it just isn't. But you have, and yet this is so important. Mm-hmm. And that took a lot of work. I highly compliment you on that. I think you are... you're the right person to have taken this on. Whether we can get it done before, you know, the changeover, but it sounds like you would be open to engaging the administration and the council and moving ahead and looking this over in the big picture.
What I commit to doing, whoever wins is going to have a transition team. Many of us have been through that. I served on one or two of them. That would be the place, it seems to me, to say, we have this procurement rewrite that's been done that we feel like is ready to go to a certain extent. I'd like to hear from the procurement people, Greg Peace and those people. Were they in this?
Yeah.
Have they reviewed
it? They helped write it.
They help write it. Okay, well.
Yeah, I mean, this is, and I get,
I
get
wish she was here today.
Yeah.
I mean,
I wish the administration were doing
a lot
of things.
I mean, you see where I'm coming from. I came today to.
No, I understand. They were there the whole time. Until the election.
Well, it may be when
the
changeover and some of the personalities are not a part of it. There may.
Right.
It may get done. And you ought to feel good about that if it does get done, even though you weren't there to push it through.
Yeah.
Well,
see my point?
I take it a step further. I think maybe not everything that's been suggested, but I think some of this has to be done. I just think it's that old. And that's why I compliment you on doing it. We can't turn a blind eye to it. You have pulled the elephant in the hallway into the room, mm-hmm. and we need to, and I'm sure our council president will put the right hands on it in the right timings and so forth. I trust you to do that. And then, but eventually it needs to come back to council. And that's our chance to make sure that it does everything you're wanting it to do and that I want it to do. But I've seen the procurement code over many years be abused. I know that happens. And I've seen it used for the benefit of a few. And I'm over the few getting the constant spoils of it. I'm over it. So thank you. Thank you very much.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you, everyone.
If you want to have another meeting, I would come. So.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
We could have like a, I mean,
thank you.
Make a
no.